There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet, he's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Oh, what a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
It might be spring break on the Eastern Michigan campus, but we come at you nonetheless, and it's a good time for a warm-up, Tom. We saw plenty of activity for Eastern Michigan, but it's spring break. How would you celebrate spring break if you were doing it now?
If I were in college?
Yeah.
You know, I never did the Florida thing. Of course, I went to college on the West Coast. Sometimes it would just be coming home to visit. How would I do it now? I'd probably go down to Florida, somewhere warm where the party is, right?
Exactly. Well, you're the life of the town. So anyways, you are kind of like, just carry the party with you.
I'm a portable party. Like wherever I am, that's where the action is. But in high school, when everybody went to Florida, like senior year, me and like five buddies, like, let's go to Vail, Colorado. And we're like, that was a poor decision. So one of my buddy's sisters was a travel agent in Denver. She got us discount, like a condo we could be in and ski passes and all that stuff. So we flew to Denver. We watched the Key Smart hit the shot for Indiana in the championship game. Then we took a bus up to Vail and skied and hung out for a few days. And then everybody was sent, you know, I had pictures when we got back to school of Florida and sunshine and bathing suits. We're like, oh yeah, no, we were freezing on a mountain. That's when I accidentally skied out of bounds and I skied out of Vail.
Oh,
I ended up on a black double diamond. I'd never skied before, so Vail was a great place to learn.
Go home.
And another buddy was with me, and we got to the steep incline, and he went down a little bit and he stopped and he looked up. He goes, now you go. And I turned right and I turned left, and I already had so much speed, I was afraid to turn or fall. I went right over the edge, like through some trees, but I went a ways, and I ended up like at a resort far away from where I started. And I had kind of fallen at the end and I had a little cut over my eye. So I ended up gathering up my skis and my poles, and I hiked to a bus stop. And then I got on a bus, which was going the wrong way. It was going further away from Vail. So I got off that bus, transferred to another bus. Meanwhile, my friends, no one saw me go over the edge and no one knew where I was.
Well, this is the days before iPhones and MapQuest.
Cell phones, no nothing. No one knew where as far as they know, I just disappeared from the mountain. And then they were kind of gathered at the bottom of the ski thing near a bus stop. And they're like, boy, I'd feel better if I just saw Tom come around the corner. And here I came with my skis, a cut over my eye. And they're like, you lived. I'm like, yeah, let's party. So yeah, that was my skiing experience in Vail in high school.
Yeah, I stay off skis, so there, nothing good comes out of that.
No, there's falling down and it's cold.
Yeah, my one spring break trip, I went to Florida for spring training with my dad, so that was a great time. We took in a bunch of spring training games, went to Tampa, went to Sarasota. That was before the Reds moved out west. So I think we came home with like 15, 18 baseballs from that trip.
Wow.
That was back in the day where you could walk up just like, here's a ball. We found plenty by the fence. I think we actually left some because it was like, we don't need to bring all these baseballs home. So I think there were still some that got left at the hotel because it's like, I'm never going to use all these.
That was back in the day before the players wore see-through pants and had tiny names on their jerseys. And
they are bad-looking uniforms. That has to be changed.
Well, there's no choice. I mean, Nike and Fanatics, there's been a mistake made with materials or something, but it's. But I've been watching some of the spring training games. I don't feel like I can see through the – not that I'm trying to look through guys' pants, but it doesn't look see-through in the spring training games I'm watching. Are
That's
they still
a podcast drop right there. Tom's trying to look through somebody's pants.
Yeah, I've been trying to look through guys' pants, and I'm struggling with it, at least the TV I was looking at over the weekend. But yeah, the uniform, it's a problem for
they
sure.
They need to get Lululemon involved. You'd be all about that.
No, as long as you can't see through it, yes. I'm a little stretching my pants.
Stretching your pants. Speaking of stretching it, how about our good friend of this podcast that you spoke with just 2 weeks ago, Paige Marchant, coming out and becoming just the second woman ever in Mid-American Conference history to win the 800, the mile, and the 3,000 in the same meet.
She's an unbelievable athlete, and she had just became the first Eastern Michigan woman to run the mile as fast as she busted like a 4:28 a couple weeks ago, too. She is an unbelievable athlete. Go back and listen to that podcast if you haven't before, but she is one that is, she's young too. Like she's got a huge college career in front of her and she's absolutely dominating right now.
Freshman of the year and also the Max MVP for the indoor championship at Bowen over the weekend. Eastern Michigan women collect their 9th team title, but Paige was kind of the story of that. I asked her after the meet, I said, are you tired? She's like, yeah, I'm a little tired. She's like, I was just going out there for a fun run, though, on that 3,000. Like, what? You're just going out for a fun run?
There's nothing fun about 3,000. That's a jaunt for sure. But listen, she's a star athlete. They're Eastern Michigan's blessed to have her. And keep it up, Paige, because you are absolutely killing it.
She will find out if she's going to head to the NCAA indoors later this week. So we'll keep an eye on that. We also are rapidly winding down basketball season. The final two men's games of the home campaign coming up this week, Western Michigan on Tuesday. And then this weekend, they will host Senior Day on Saturday. The women are home on Wednesday before they're at Ball State over the weekend. So two teams that are really up against it in terms of the MAC tournament race, but the men's kept their season and hope still alive with a big game on Saturday that you were able to call.
Great win at Ball State. Billingsley just continues to play better and better basketball. It's funny because I keep waiting for this team to kind of tap out. Like, listen, we're kind of out of it. It's an uphill climb. I don't think we can get into the top eight. I said at practice Friday, I'm like, they were as crisp and alert and working hard in practice and communicating, and everybody seemed in good spirits. And I thought, well, good for EMU. And then they go out and get a win in a place they haven't won in regulation since 2015 in a great game the whole way. No one led that game by more than 6 at any point in that game. It was a tremendous battle. And that's what Tyson Acuff has needed, is someone else to come up huge. Billingsley did that for him. Once again, they did a decent job of keeping Bashir Jihad in check, but still he had a double-double in the first half. He had like 11 or 12 points and 10 rebounds in that first half. But they did what they needed to do to win on the road. Now you come home, you play Western Michigan, chance at redemption there. You got Senior Day on Saturday. You really need – maybe you could lose one down the stretch here, but I think you got to win all four if you're going to get yourself into that 8 spot and get yourself to Cleveland. But they're playing really good basketball.
They are. That's the big thing. They have to find a way to keep this success going. Tyson Acuff just 3 points away from becoming the newest member of the 1,000-point club. Of course, he already has it for his career, but in his EMU history, he's just 3 points away. I would say he'll get that within the first 90 seconds of Tuesday's game. Wouldn't you say?
I would say so. You know what? He's funny because sometimes he starts games 0-for-6 and then finds his rhythm. Other times he comes out, scores the first 7 or 10 points by himself. He'll get it. We'll just see which way he starts against Western Michigan. But I'm looking forward to seeing him hit that mark and seeing if this team can string another W together. You mentioned the women's side. They took another big loss on Saturday. I mean, it doesn't feel like they have any shot to get there, and they got a tough road on the way out, but they continue to fight, and it'll just be interesting to see what they do down the stretch.
Wednesday's game is play for K, so it will be a day to come out, wear your pink in case in support of breast cancer research, as the K Yao Foundation will be at full attention on that game. So that will come up on Wednesday. EMU baseball on the road this week. They went 1-2, suffered a hard loss setback yesterday. Nick Chittum goes a complete game, gives up just 4 hits, but all the runs he gives up are unearned as he suffers the loss. Eastern loses 3-1. First time an EMU pitcher has gone a complete game 8-inning or more contest since going back to 2021. That's a stretch of 142 games. You're only in week 2, and he's out there throwing a complete game?
Yeah, he got stretched out early, which is not easy to do. Sometimes you got to go through that first month to really get stretched out and pitch those kind of innings. But you and I have talked about the pitching for EMU baseball, and it seems like it's actually going to be a strong point for him this season. You never know how the pitching is going to play out, but I think they're off to a decent start pitching-wise.
Yeah, so far, I mean, you look at the ERA, it's probably a little elevated, but when isn't it at points in college baseball, just the way scoring is up overall? Logan Hugo, who is so far riding a 6-game hitting streak, he's only been held off the base pass that opening game, but otherwise he's on fire. Eastern Michigan overall, the offense was good except for the Sunday finale, and you have to attribute that probably to some cooler weather. They make the trip to Houston this weekend. They'll take on Houston Christian down there before they'll get the boys from Vanderbilt coming up in a midweek game next week. We'll talk more about that, so it should be a unique one. So plenty of activity. The story and focus of our show today will be rowing, as we sat down with both head coach Kemp Savage as well as senior Reagan Fizikas. You got to talk to Reagan, who is coming back from injury, but the most important thing you get to find out is just, again, this is a kid that's turned into a star on the rowing side, but as with many on that in that sport, she didn't start out even knowing what was going into being a boat.
No, just a great athlete, and ends up rowing in college and is doing a phenomenal job for Eastern Michigan. But it's just, I always laugh when there's athletes you see at the D1 level that, you know, did a different sport or did something. Then they come out and are a great D1 athlete in another sport. It took every ounce of energy I had to be a marginal D3 athlete. And these people are just rolling off the street and like, well, I was phenomenal. A couple others. Let me try this, a little rowing. And I also try and talk her into seeing the movie with Rob Lowe. Oxford Blues, I believe is the name of the rowing movie. But she mentioned another one that's more current.
Yeah. Boys in the Boat is the one she recommends.
Right. So I do need to see that. And,
she did teach you a lesson and a new word, though.
Erg. Yeah, I have one, and I didn't know it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I walked in your basement the other day and said, oh, there's your erg machine. And you kind of gave me that stare like, yeah, I know.
I have a rowing machine, but I don't know what an erg is. Yeah, apparently I have an erg. But yeah, it's. I guess I could be a rower. I couldn't be a rower. It takes tremendous endurance and... But I learned even stuff. I asked her questions too about steering the boat. I didn't know any of that. Like rowing, you just see it from kind of a distance or on TV. There's a lot I don't know about the sport. And that's why I like these type of interviews, because I feel like the listeners, I'm trying to find out as much information as I can too, especially with these type of sports that don't get a lot of publicity, but there is a lot of fascinating aspects to it.
And I learned something too. I didn't realize when you asked her about it, she compares kind of their fall season to more like cross country and then their spring season to more like track where it's a sprint. So I think that was something you'll find interesting coming up in the interview. And then we talked with head coach Kemp Savage of rowing as they get ready. They're headed down to Alabama for their training trip, and then we'll take on the Crimson Tide in their usual spring. But we talked to him about giving back to the community and just the growth of this program, his ease in his 10th year. And really, they have their hearts and minds set on winning the CAA this year, and certainly a good opportunity to that, as Eastern, of course, made news a few weeks back and is going to install a permanent rowing course on Ford Lake and get that all set. So the growth of that sport is still coming up. So we talked plenty with him coming up in the show about that. It's a great sport that, again, you didn't realize until Kemp says it, but it used to be one of the most watched sports in America until we find out today, very similar. Gambling and the mob got involved, and then things got shut down.
Yeah, isn't that fascinating? And that's why I want to see that movie too. But I didn't realize that the wagering and stuff that was going on with rowing and how that changed the whole sport and how popular it was. Still popular in Boston when they have that event, and it's like the Super Bowl of rowing and huge crowds and all that stuff. But that's the stuff I enjoyed, the history of it and learning about those type of things. Maybe you and I should have a YouTube channel called We Tried It, and you and I maybe try rowing, try some of these sports we know nothing about, and see how we would fare.
Only if there could be a great soundtrack under it. What's the British comedy that
Benny Hill show?
Yeah, that's it.
You're not giving us a lot of hope at being successful.
Well, you're a finely tuned athlete. I'm a guy that just writes about it.
Yeah, I'm tuned, but I don't know about finally. But I could still use some help, but it would be fun to try.
It would be fun to try. Well, that might be something we can cook up this summer.
Yeah, we got the time.
Let's work on that. I think it's our time to get out of here. We let the people get to the interviews they want. You have basketball coverage this week a couple times on the air at home, and it should be a fun week for all of us as Eastern tries to punch their ticket to Cleveland.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here.
Bowling Warehouse.
And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Bowling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Bowling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the Mitten.
Joining me now, Reagan Fizikas, a Michigan native. It's funny because as I look at what you did in high school, cross country, track and field, soccer, bowling, pulling people from burning buildings, I don't see rowing. Like, when did rowing come into it for you?
Freshman year of college.
Really?
Yeah. Rowing actually recruits a lot of multi-sport athletes from high school that never rowed to try out the sport.
Did you have any intention when you came to Eastern Michigan to row?
Yes. So I was actually recruited.
Okay.
As a non-rower to come into college. So coming into Eastern, my first day of school, I already knew I was going to row.
How did that conversation go? Like, when did you get the call, or someone show up, or did coach show up and say, listen, you're a great athlete, let me pitch something to you?
Yeah, it happened pretty late. So my senior year was COVID year, and I didn't really know where I was going to go to college yet. I had a few options, and Eastern was one of them. And someone from my high school actually rowed here at Eastern multiple years back. And I was like, you know, I did so many sports in high school. I was like, you know, why not try? Give it a try. So I actually reached out to Kemp myself, and I was like, hey, like, I have a former high school teammate that rode with you, and I'd like to give it a shot. So set up a Zoom call, and next thing you know, I'm on like 4 different calls with them. And
all right, it's one thing to make the phone calls, and then they put you in a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that go first time?
Well, they don't just put you in a boat. We had to go
they
through.
Should. Let's yeah. find out first if you have any ability to row this thing.
Yeah, the first couple of weeks were more like conditioning to see how fit we were and to make sure that rowing is very endurance-based, so you have to be in pretty good shape to row. So they gave us the basics. We learned how to erg first on our stationary
erg.
Yeah.
I don't know what erging is.
It's our stationary, like, indoor rowing machine.
Okay.
So they gave us the basics and the movements that we do in the boat. We learned how to do that on land before they just threw us in the water.
Is erg what it's called? Like just learning when you're on like a rowing machine? Is that, am I erging when I'm doing that? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So if I go to the gym, I'm on the rowing machine. I've erged.
Yeah.
There's a lot of technique to it. It's almost like a golf swing. Like some people think you just pull as hard as you can, especially if you're on a machine. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. It's so funny going to the gym and watching people that obviously don't know what they're doing on the erg. Like you just shake your head and walk away. It's like, should I go help them?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do people not know about that? Because at first, there's a lot more legs than you think, right?
Yeah.
So really, you're grabbing on explosion with the legs, and then you pull the arms kind of last, right? Would that be the proper technique?
Yeah. People definitely try to overcompensate with their arms, and it's like, you're not doing it right. Please stop. Or there's just the different motions, and people open up their body, and that's how people hurt their backs or their shoulders. So there's a lot of complex movements.
So it's one thing to come to campus, think you want to be on the rowing team, get on an erg. It's a different when you start doing the training, you get in the boat. Did you know your freshman year, like, yes, I've made a great decision here?
Yeah, like the friendships and everything. My recruiting class was pretty big. There was a lot of us my freshman year. I'm still really close with my teammates and people that have graduated. So it's definitely, it's like family. And like, I like to be challenged. Like obviously the sports like cross country and track isn't not the easiest sports. It's a lot of putting in the work outside of practice and stuff like that. And that's definitely how rowing is. You have to, it's very mentally challenging, and was not up for a good challenge. So
the difference between rowing, track and field, cross country is more individual. You're on a team, mm-hmm. but you're kind of competing at your own pace or doing the best you can. Mm-hmm. You're rowing eights. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different animal, right? You guys got to be in complete sync, don't you? Mm-hmm. How difficult is that?
Oh, it definitely is. Like the comparison from freshman year to now, like looking back, it's like, oh my gosh, like we watch the novice rowers in a boat, like from our boat. And it's like, is that what we really look like? Like they're all over the place. They're not matching up. And I mean, we're still not perfect. There are strokes where we're off or someone's beating someone else into the water. And you just have to, those are the learning and the teaching moments where it's like, okay, we're in this together and we have to adapt.
Do you have a coxswain? Is that the right term? Coxswain? Yeah. You're like, row. Is that just someone like, I don't want to work out, I don't want to row, but I do want to yell at the eight people in the boat to be in sync. Is that their job?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Not in a boat. You have to be a certain.
Where else could you do it? In a car?
Oh, in the erg room.
Oh, in the erg room.
Yeah.
Drive.
We have joked whenever they do stuff like and lift and stuff like that, we'll be like, we'll cox you through it. We got you.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Do you enjoy eight?
Yeah, a lot better than fours.
Much harder in fours? Was it more work?
Yes and no. Like there's more balance in an eight than there are in fours because obviously you have four other people. So like you're a little more tipsy in a four. Obviously like you have to work, not like harder, but right. If you want to hit like the rate and stuff like that, it's a lot less people to go through.
This is going to seem like an odd question. Are the races always straight or sometimes you can got to make some slight turns if you're going down a river or something like that? And how do you make that turn? It seems like with everybody in sync, I notice not like if I'm watching the Olympics, there's no perceivable change in anything. Mm-hmm. Yet they can move the boat left or right.
Yeah. So in the spring, I like to compare it to like track and field. Like it's our sprint season. So those ones are straight. Like we're in a straight line. We have lanes and there's buoys. And if you go outside your lane, then there can be deductions on your time. In the fall, I like to say it's like cross country. It's more long distance. We'll row a 6K, which is a little over 3 miles. And that one is typically on a river where there's turns and curves, right. Or we go under bridges. And that is pretty much the coxswain's job. They have ropes in the boat and they actually steer. Like there's a rudder and a fin on the bottom.
So it's not like you're giving a little more on the right side
sometimes
or anything.
Sometimes that does have to happen.
Okay.
So in Boston, when we row at the head of the Charles or on the Charles River in general, there's a bunch of bridges. And some of the bridges have really sharp turns and you have to, like you're going fast and the coxswain doesn't have enough time with our speed to just use the steering. So like she'll be like port side, like really crank it, like give it to your starboard and then vice versa. It depends on which way the turn is.
We're talking with Regan Fizikas. I find all of this fascinating because I watch it, but you never understand. Like I never knew someone could actually steer the boat. Mm-hmm. You talked about head of the Charles in Boston. I do know this. Rowing seems pretty big mm-hmm. on the East Coast.
Oh yeah.
And you guys did well there.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about head of the Charles.
It's a surreal experience. Like, obviously, I didn't row until college. So, like, seeing such an atmosphere like that where there's so many people there just for rowing. Like, the whole city of Boston, not, like, shuts down, but, like, traffic getting to the race course, getting to the river is chaotic. Like, typically, our coaches have to drop us off and we'll meet them at the trailer because they have to go park the car a couple miles down the road. And there's just so many rowers from all over the country, people outside of the country, and it's just of all ages. Like, there's people in there, they have the master division where they're older that are rowing.
Were you blown away the first time you went?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
It's like the Super Bowl of rowing.
Yeah.
And you guys will be going to Alabama in March. You talked about the spring season a little bit, the sprint season, if you will. Do you have to train differently for the spring than the events you run in the fall?
Currently, this morning we had a sprint workout, and they're just different distances that we might pull in practice, I guess you could say.
Okay.
So like this morning we did repeat 500s. In the fall, we might do repeat 1000s or repeat 2Ks. We still do those in the spring, but we focus more on the short sprints more.
If there's no ice, you're good to go. You're outside.
Kind of. Yeah.
Kind of all bundled up out there in snowmobile suits.
Pretty much the amount of socks I have to wear some days to keep my toes warm.
Now, you've dealt with some injuries, but you're good now?
Yeah, I actually just got cleared last night. I had a doctor's appointment at 6:30 last night, and I got all cleared.
And what were you dealing with?
So these past 2 years, I've had a chronic injury. It's been different diagnoses with different labels, I guess you could call it. It started with a forearm injury. My forearms were like swelling while we were rowing. So in rowing, you have to rotate your inside arm to our oars have to move.
Yeah.
And after races, my arms would just be so inflamed that I couldn't like flex or extend my wrist. And it was like, okay, I kind of need my dominant hand to write and do stuff. So just going through different doctors, different tests and stuff like that. And then this past fall, I said something in my doctor's appointment that my doctor was like, oh, we haven't explored this avenue. And we found out I had a form of thoracic outlet syndrome. So like stemming from my shoulder down to my arm, my blood flow was restricted. So my muscles weren't getting the blood they needed to work out.
But you're good now.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100-ish percent. Yeah. As much as an athlete
like
can be
that, yeah.
in their senior season. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of community service too, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Which your coach takes a lot of pride in, but he says the athletes run it and you're running the show, aren't you?
Yeah. For our team, I'm pretty much organizing and making sure that everyone's at events and stuff like that. And I'm also the community service chair on SAC, which is a student athlete advisory committee. So I kind of oversee all of the student athletes.
What events do you guys like to do, and why is that so important to you to be involved in that?
Yeah, we've partnered kind of with Girls on the Run, and we've done a bunch of events with them, like helping prepare for their season. We like to help other organizations that obviously are fitting with athletics and stuff like that. So obviously encouraging young girls to get out there and work out is exciting. This past December, we made like fleece tie blankets and we took them to a nursing home and the women's shelter. And I don't know, we just like gone reading to kids, just getting back into the community and doing stuff. I think February there's Girls in Athletics or Girls in Something Month.
It's my favorite month, yeah. Girls in Something Month.
But last year we had like most female sports come to this event, and there was a bunch of little girls before the women's basketball game, and we all showed them like how to do each of our sports. Like the volleyball was there, swim and dive was there, we were there, basketball was there. So it was.
Reagan, final question, favorite rowing movie?
Boys in the Boat.
Boys in the Boat.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. Is that like 1936? Is that the one? Is it out?
Yeah, it came out on Christmas. So
okay.
It's still in the movie theater, and I think you can buy it on streaming now.
I would like you to watch Oxford Blues at some point with Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Not only is he dreamy, but it's just a fantastic movie. So I think it's the 80s, so it's okay. A little slower pace than movies today, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. I'll try to convince Kemp to buy that for us.
Reagan Fizikas, thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us, as well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU Athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small
You're listening
business.
To the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Spring is inching ever closer, and it means a return to going back outside. We're joined by head rowing coach Kemp Savage. Year 10 that you're in as the head coach, but even longer that you've been at Eastern Michigan. I know I ask you every year, but time seems to fly by, doesn't it?
Yes. Whenever I look back on this being my only adult job after college and master's degrees, and I realize I turned 40 this year, that puts a lot of context on it real quick.
Yeah, we can say when they were growing up and they said, at some point you have to grow up. Well, but you've kind of never grown up because you just stayed in college forever. That's kind of how I view it.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you might still be of college age, and then you have a mirror every day that reminds you that you're maybe not anymore.
Well, the hair, the beard, you know, it changes colors over time, right?
Well, I mean, originally the beard got grown because I looked young and people didn't think I was a head coach. And now I don't think that's a problem.
So as a head coach now in year 10, it's fully your program at this point. What are the things that you are most proud of heading into this spring?
I think it's looking at what we've built and what we're continuing to build. Not just the athletes, but also the longevity and future of the program. The erg room that's now a fully designed, ready training space for our team. The boathouse obviously was built in my first year here. And then we're looking at some expansions to make the community have more access to rowing. So that's coming soon, I hope. But looking to build something more than just Eastern Michigan and also leave a mark on rowing and Ypsilanti and all of us together.
I know we've talked offline about rowing and its popularity. People don't realize that at one point, rowing was kind of the most viewed sport of all time, even surpassing boxing. But some things kind of changed and it fell out of favor. But at one point, rowing was the thing that everybody watched. It wasn't the NFL.
Dave drew crowds that a lot of the NFL kind of wishes they could. You know, you look back to some of the singles races in New York in the 20s, and they had 200,000 people at a race. You know, picnic baskets lined up around, but watching three guys race over 2,000 meters in singles and, you know, the Boys in the Boat just came out, which obviously, and
right.
you get actually a pretty good feel for the size of the crowds there. Having trains run next to the races so you could watch the whole thing. It was very, very big. And then, you know, just like boxing, some underhanded things happened and people stopped trusting you. And then it falls out of favor for a while.
Yeah, I could say FanDuel, all that would thrive back in those days.
Oh. So
they could have been working alongside.
Yeah, the FBI would have thrived too.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowing what I know about FanDuel's other deal.
That's for a different podcast.
Yeah,
we won't get into that here.
Yeah.
You look at, as we turn this back to your team, a full year that you guys have had of a space of your own. As the renovations took the old football team room, you converted it. We saw that it gave this team a space in an area. How have you seen the productivity and the camaraderie grow?
I think really the atmosphere is so much better. I look back to my first couple years as the head coach and then my time as the assistant coach, we have to run two separate practices for every indoor practice. So you just had a big split in the team of basically on whose schedule they were on. That kind of works if you have, you know, an offense or defense or, you know, different position players. But with rowing, it's so team-based that you kind of want to know where number one through number 60 feel like they're at and get a feel for each other. And if you have a weird draw and you have the first four people on the team and then they're working out with the next, you know, there's a big gap between, it can really kind of be isolating and feel more competitive than camaraderie. And it's so important to like drive speed through each other rather than by yourself.
Here with head coach on the women's rowing side, Kemp Savage, you look at it, you in your fall season, you're able to race against Michigan. You get Michigan State as well. You place 14th at the head of the Charles. Also test yourself in Madison against Wisconsin. What did all those things prove to you at this point of where your team's at and then what you had to improve on going into this offseason?
We had a really good feeling based on our erg testing that we had one of the fastest teams we've had, particularly in the top end, the 1B, 2B. We kind of underrode ourselves, and that was, I think it was on me. We've gotten really comfortable rowing on our home lake, which is a little bit colder, a little bit deeper, so it's a little bit slower, has no flow rate. And then we weren't able to shift up gears when we would go to the head of the Charles.
Yep.
Last time we raced there with the same speed, we finished fifth. So 14th was a little disappointing for us. But we came back and, to be honest, we re-rigged, reset the entire boathouse, lightened everything up so that it feels more like other places on our home, so that when we go to those other places, we can actually increase a little bit. It showed up really well when we went to Wisconsin against Wisconsin and Minnesota. I don't think that we can ever get fast by racing people who aren't faster than us. So it's great to see Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, because they've always been faster than us. Right. As we try and close the gap and win CAAs, all of those boats will be fast enough to win CAAs. So for us, it's really looking at how do we get to that speed? And since we can't go out to the East Coast all the time during the fall, we've got some really good talent around us to measure ourselves against.
I know we'll get into to regattas each time as we get closer, but as you look at it, a couple home meets that you're going to have again this upcoming spring that people can set their calendars for. You get Dayton April 28th. That's a one that somebody can come out and look for. What else do you really highlight in your mode coming up this spring?
Looking, you know, a lot of our athletes, because we pull from all over the country on the East Coast, going out there a couple times, the Connect Cup in New Jersey, and then the George Mason invite in Occoquan, Virginia, is a good chance for any of our athletes' families, as well as any of our alumni on the East Coast. We had a decent amount of alumni move out to the DC area, as well as the Philadelphia, New York area, and they come down for those races. So that's a really good chance for them to come out. Obviously, still going to our spring training trip in Alabama. That's a great event. If anyone's in that area, they pack the landing they have there, and it's really nice to see a lot of spectators out for a rowing event.
Last year, it was some adverse conditions you had in Alabama. They had a high flow rate because of flooding and everything else. When you look back at that now, maybe hopefully as the melt and everything pans off, how will that affect training as well?
At home, it has not been that cold. There is ice on the lake, but it's flowing in most of the areas. So that's really good for us in the next couple of weeks. Maybe we'll be able to get some afternoon water time as we get closer into that Alabama weekend or week. For there, I mean, the nice part is we've kind of figured out the rig to make to handle those conditions. Yep. I think we have a good, I will say, book on it now. So we'll prep ourselves a little bit better to handle a higher flow rate if that's what happens. But, you know, they're, you know, a long tributary waterway. So their flow rate could be nothing one day and then 20,000 gallons a minute the other one.
I know we always close out in these conversations in some capacity with your team giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. It's always a race between you and lacrosse right now, seemingly, for who's going to have the most community service hours, most Eagle points, cup points as well. Now that you see Sarah Tisdale on the other side really giving you a challenge, how much does that then push your team to like, okay, we can take them on?
I'll say it's never been about the Eagle Cup. It's been about that we have amazing athletes who do amazing stuff in the community. The Eagle Cup might be a nice little addition, but and it's one of those things I would love to take credit for, but I don't run our community service. Our athletes run it. They do it. We let them know, like, it's important to us, but there's only so much we have on our plate, and I can't speak any more highly of them than what they do to volunteer in their time to just make our community better. And if Ypsilanti Township succeed, EMU succeeds. It's, we feed back on each other. And I think it's so important for us to get out of our, you know, small area over here and really look at what we give to the community and what we bring in. You know, we host the Special Olympics in Michigan. It's an amazing event at the Boathouse. It's great to be the actual host site for that, and kind of hoping to expand that as well as we move forward.
Kemp, appreciate your time. As always, we know we'll talk plenty more as we always have your race previews on EMU social media.
I'm looking forward to it. Trailer talk too.
Trailer talk.
We're going to bring trailer talk
trailer
back.
Trailer talk's back this
yep.
year?
Yep. Now that we actually, you know, travel. Coming out of COVID, it took a dive, but we're committed to trailer talk this year.
Awesome. We look forward to plenty of that.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.